Lord, we just thank you for this morning, Father. Lord, we want to give you first praise. That God, without you, without your word, Father, without your Holy Spirit creating what your word is saying, that Father, Lord, we do this in vain. Father, we do it as just an empty sounding gong. But Father, this morning we come to you afresh. That God, Lord, your word says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Father, let us hear as the church what you're trying to say to us even this morning. Father, even over these last few days, let us hear what your Spirit is saying to us. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my last session, can anybody tell me what I talked on? Prayer. Coming back to the original plan, the house of prayer. Coming back to being a people of prayer. Coming back to allowing God to speak to us where we actually hear. And through this whole time, our time together, you've been hearing stages as they've progressed. And if you've listened to each from the very beginning, Pastor Trevor ministered, and then yesterday and today, you will see there's a progression. There's a strategy that each and every one of us are giving you. Even Bob last night, when he shared on family life, and he was sharing stuff about that, it's all leading up to the one thing, that God wants to restore our nation back to himself. It's not just restoring the church, but when the church is restored back to God, God will restore the nation. The Bible says he will heal our land because our land is sick at the moment. We heard last night what's happening in family life, that family isn't considered as the main priority anymore. It's all about the South Kingdom, which Pastor Trevor talked about. And so this morning, I want to bring a question to you first. My question to you, which will be my title, is, what house are you building? What type of house are you building? And we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Verse 1, it says, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. Church, already, we thought it was going to sound good, but already the Word of God says that his Word was very rare. It wasn't really acquainted with anybody. He wasn't speaking very much, or more to the point, not that God wasn't speaking, nobody was listening. That's why the Word became rare. And our point to you, even over these next few days, or these days that we're coming to, is we want you to hear what the Word of God is saying. And it said that visions were infrequent. And it happened at the time, as Eli was lying down in his place, now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see so well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark was. That the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, here am I, for you have called me. But he said, I did not call you, lie down again. So he went and he lay down. And the Lord yet called again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli. Here I am, for you have called me. But he answered, I did not call, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not know the Lord, nor had the word of God been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. He arose, went to Eli and said, here I am, for you have called me. Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. Some of us, it takes a long time before we discern, doesn't it? Verse 9. And Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you again, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. So Samuel went down to his place. And the Lord came and stood before as the other times and called Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, Lord, thy servant is listening. Just a few points in here. It tells us that the word of the Lord was rare. That the word of the Lord wasn't, like we said in the beginning, might have been spoken but was not listened to. It's amazing how in church life, and I'm talking about church as a whole, we may come to a church service or what we perceive as church, We come and we listen to the messages. We come and we hear the Word of God, and yet we go out and we're not changed. How can you change something if you're not changed? How can something not be a revelation to you if you don't hear the Word of God? How can we share the gospel to a nation that is dying, to where the Word of God is becoming rare? We heard last night that the Word of God is becoming rare, that not even our government really want to hear what the Word of God is all about. Friend, this is the same prophetic call that Samuel got, that we want to predict to you that God is calling us to stand up again, but what house are we building? God is saying, hey, my word is getting rare because it's getting so rare where a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman, where you a family unit is anybody that wants to live together but doesn't have to be a family in marriage. What is God building? What does God want? He wants the same thing as He's always wanted, a relationship with every one of us. He wants people back to Himself. He wants people to know who this God is, what Jesus has done, and what the Holy Spirit will continue to do. But what is He doing? What is He building? And so I want to challenge you, because in here we have two different things happening. We have tradition. So what is tradition? Tradition is a handing down of statements, beliefs, information, customs, either by word or by practice. And even church life, we have some traditions in church that have become traditions because we've always done them. And you know, there's a saying, you will always get what you always do, you will always get what you always got. Church, there's some things that need to change. Now, there's nothing wrong with some tradition, I guess, but when we have our tradition where we outdo the Word of God and we don't allow the Word of God to convict our lives, we become like Eli, and we'll begin to line that up soon. That there is an old method and God is bringing in a new method. But see, those new methods that God wants to bring, the Bible says He wants to do new things when? Every day. So there should be something new in God that you should perceive through revelation today that will help you build the house of the Lord. But tradition, it's a hand-me-down. I don't know about you, but I come from a family of 6 kids and a mum and dad. And you know, I'm third, but there were still hand-me-downs that we got. My cousins, my aunts and uncles, some of them had bigger families, and so everything was handed down. And when you got something new, man, it was special. But that was very rare with a big family. But see, the Bible tells us that God wants to give us something new every time. It says that tradition is inherited by a way of thinking or a way of acting. And you can see that in church life. You can go from church to church, and you can tell what church people affiliate with because they do the same things in every church. But wouldn't it be awesome, like Pastor Trevor was saying, if we just were all called Christians and we were identified by doing the same thing, glorifying God, hearing His Word, activating His Word. Because I'm amazed when people rather would ask, what church do you go to? Because it's amazing that most people know the traditions of churches rather than the Word that we sit under. Old method, new method. See, I've always understood or sort of always heard and been taught that to be religious is a wrong thing. But if we understand what the word religious is all about, we will understand what God is doing. You know, people that brought up these words, they meant well. But see, religious is to be concerned with the sacred matter of church. And that's how we've twisted that. Where we become more worried about church as the function of a church rather than the moving of the Holy Spirit through the church. Like we've heard, the church has the message. Do we not? We're meant to be the messengers with the message. But what message are we carrying? Or are we more worried about how we're going to fill our churches, how we're going to reach the lost? But see, if we in lining ourselves with the Word of God, God says, you do your part and He will make the rest of it happen. And that's hearing the Word of God. See, it's having a belief or a reverence towards God. That's what religious really means. And yet we've made religious as a dirty word to have in church. Whereas really it's just having a reverence towards God, a fervent faith, a fervent hope, where you just believe that God will do it. See, most churches, and I'm speaking to the church mostly this morning, is because the church has lost its faith aspect of who we are. I watched T.D. Jakes the other night. After we had listened to Pastor Trevor, we went home, and T.D. Jakes came on TBN, and he was saying it's about time that the church took faith steps again. Where we took those big leaps of faith. Where we move out of our comfort zone and let's get a bit uncomfortable. When was the last time you became a fervent person for God, reverence towards God, that you did what God said? Because what's the worst that could happen? Nothing. But yet the Bible says out of nothing, God created. So whether you feel you've got nothing to give, allow God. Because that's His area. The impossible is God's playground. But are we fervent for God? See, the only meaning of Christian is that we believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ. So if we're Christians and you believe that, then you should activate that. But let's have a look at this man, Eli. Eli, he had traditional methods. That's all he knew. Why? Because it was only Eli that really heard from the Lord, and then he told what the Lord would say to the people. But you know what Eli forgot to do? He became more interested in the running of the temple than the delivering of the people. See, church friend, our job now is to bring deliverance to those that need to be delivered. My Bible tells me that He came to set the captives free. Do you think our nation is in captivity? Yes, it is. So whose job is it to set them free, to show them the way? It's ours. It's ours. So we've got to come to this house of prayer, and then we must come out of this house of prayer with a strategy on how to set the captives free. And see, Eli meant the offering or the uplifting. He used to uplift the Word of God. He used to be a man of the Word of God, but we read in the first verse that the Word of God was rare. So he allowed something to come in that changed him. See, he was more interested in house mentality. Don't get interested in house mentality. What am I saying about house mentality? Well, how are we going to pay the power bill? How are we going to get programs together where we can get people in? Because if you start running programs, you have to continue to do programs, and then you've got to progress those programs just to keep the people. But the thing is, you preach the Word. The Bible said it's the Word that will set them free, not the program. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not against programs, but when there's the emphasis over the Word of God setting the captives free, that becomes a bugbear to me. The Bible tells me it's the Word of God. It's the truth that will set me free. And like we've said, we mightn't enjoy the truth sometimes, but see, we've got to get away from this house mentality. Oh, we haven't got many this morning. We haven't got many in tonight's service. We haven't got many in our cell groups. That is house mentality. And we've got to get away from that. That where we get into the people, the Word of God, because as the people get engrossed in the Word of God and they begin to activate that, what it does, it attracts other people because the Word now becomes living and active. Me sharing to you this morning does not make the Word living and active. It's when you get up and you do something with it. Makes it active. I just don't want us to be house mentality where we're just so worried about how the house looks. And that can be important to you, and that's good. But how we present how our churches are rather than how the Word of God is, how our state is at the moment, how our country is at the moment. Like you know, election is this year. If we get more worried about house mentality, we will lose another election. Because it's not the government's fault, it's ours. We either voted or not voted them in. Eli says he understood a God he couldn't hear any longer. And some of us are a bit like that. Well, I'll go to church to see what pastor has to share. See, we come, but are we stirred by the word? Yeah, we understand the word, but do we do anything with it? Because when you begin to understand, the Bible says, you become responsible for what you have heard. What are you hearing, church? What are you hearing, friend? See, don't be house mentality where you understand what's going on, but you just sit on your laurels and do nothing. That's not what it's all about. We have a nation, or some of our nation, that are going to hell. We have a government that's putting us into a position where you will not be able to speak as freely as we can. Eli. See, it came to the point where Eli, he taught the things he couldn't do. He talked about how we can be the people of God. He talked to the people about certain things, but he didn't know how to do it. An old method is like that. It teaches us stuff, but doesn't teach us how to do it. In church, we need to get to the point where we begin to do what we're taught. It's no use going to school where you just eat your lunch. You got to go to school so that you learn, because in today's society, staying on the dole ain't going to get you anywhere. See, the church needs to become educated in the Word of God. Who was Samuel? Samuel talked of a new move of God. Because the thing is, God loved His people. God loves His people. And friend, God loves New Zealand. I have no doubt that our God wants to reign over this place. I have no doubt where God wants to bring His Spirit over this place. You know, even as a child, when we used to have many ministries come into my parents' church, and they would always say there's such an anointing or a Spirit of God over this place of New Zealand. If they can feel it, and if they can touch it, why can't we? Because sometimes we're still thinking house mentality. We need to get out of house mentality and see that God wants to do a new thing. That God wants to move afresh. See, Samuel means heard of God. Samuel means asked of God. When you hear, God is saying, okay, now what are you going to ask for? Ask for the strategies. See, Samuel became a kingdom builder, not just house mentality. Yes, he was concerned in the house because that's where he worked. He worked under a man in the house. But he was also worried and concerned about the kingdom of Israel. He was concerned about the people of Israel. And friend, we have to be concerned with our nation of New Zealand. We have to be concerned with the things that are coming through our schoolings, that are coming through our nation, the laws that are coming through. And if we only need another, 30,000 people's signatures to turn a law, that's hardly anything. But will we do it? See, Samuel hears from God, but yet he didn't understand. See, if we're house mentality people like Eli's job was to cause Samuel to hear the word of God for himself. And that's part of our job. That's part of our employment, is that you would hear the word of God for yourself and do what God has called us to do. Two voices are better than one. I love what Bob was saying last night. Just keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it, because eventually someone will listen. They may try and shut you down. You don't know what you're talking about. That's all rubbish. No. Our God is a loving God. But you know the other half of God is He's a God of war. Yeah, He's saving it for the last bit, but He's coming back to judge. But see, Samuel was a man or a young boy. He couldn't understand what God was saying. So it's part of our job to bring an understanding to the people of God that we need to pray for our nation of New Zealand, but not just pray, ask for a strategy and how we can make that change. Bob gave us some good clues on how we can make that change last night. You weren't here last night. You need to get that CD and hear what we can do, because friend, it is so simple what we can do to change a law. See, When God speaks to us, it's for a purpose. What's the purpose? Eli was traditional method. We know that. Says that his eyes were dim. Friend, when your vision goes dim, you can guarantee that the scripture that says, without a vision, the people perish. And I don't want to freak the church out, but the church's eyes are going dim. We need to get a bit more kaha within us, a bit more strength, a bit more vocal. What's the worst that you could happen? You could end up in jail? You go overseas and some of these people live in jail just for preaching and just for saying the name of Jesus. But we can change that, friend. We see Eli, his eyes were so dim. He couldn't see. The Bible says he couldn't even hear, to the point where even Samuel heard the voice. The remarkable thing is, where did Samuel go when he heard the voice? To Eli. Why? Because he understood the father of the house's voice. And he recognized the voice. Which voice do you recognize? See, it says that he had impaired vision. He couldn't see that well. And we need to come to a point where our vision needs to be clear. See, without my glasses, my vision would be impaired. I couldn't see so well. I couldn't see the back row. That may be a good thing. But for my vision to be clear so I can see, especially so that I can drive, because I'd be freaky if I didn't have my glasses, it helps me clarify where I need to go and what I need to do. Eli lost his clarification. Church, make sure we don't lose our clarification why we're here. We're not here just to build big churches. We're here to make a difference. And I'm not against big churches whatsoever. They do some awesome things. But the thing I see with a lot of these big churches is they bring their people together to make a stand, because there is power in number. Always has been. Eli knew the law. He knew the law better than he knew the grace of God. Everything was the law, and friend, there's nothing wrong with the law. But there's other things besides the law. And see, the law is always house mentality. See, Eli, towards the end, forgot the main reason of his position. He was there to be a spokesman for God to lead the people in righteousness. If you think our nation has been led in righteousness, you need to wake up and smell the roses. Don't be disillusioned. You heard what Bob was saying in his presentation last night. See, Samuel, a new move of God, taught the ways of the house. Eli taught him house stuff. But see, he came to a point. He learned to be a servant to the man of God, the house of God, and the people of God. And that's what we must bring to the people. You do it because of God. You don't do it just because of the man or the house that you work in. You do it because God has a call even for the nation of New Zealand. How wonderful it is that God chose New Zealand to see the sun first. How wonderful it is that even as a nation that we have, that people can still experience the power of God. I remember as a child growing up in tent campaigns where, you know, we used to travel. Dad would come home after work. We'd bundle all our six kids in the car. In those days, you didn't need seat belts, so you just crammed in the back of the car and you went off to a tent meeting in the big city of Murupara, Te Teko, Galatea. Those were our cities. Never got to Auckland. God was in the Bay of Plenty. So we got trooped around all these areas. And yet people were hungry to hear the word, to be together. So what's happened? House mentality has crept in. I've got to go to work. What about after work? Do we get together? It's what I love about our church. People love getting together, even if it's just around a meal. See, there needs to come something new in the things of God. See, Samuel learned to hear for himself. I love Dr. Yonggi Cho's approach to counseling. When people come to see him, he says to them, well, you go and fast for 3 days, and then you come and tell me what God is saying to you. What a great counsel. Whereas people, you know, sometimes your office can be full for a couple of hours, people just blabbing their lips. Yes, some people need to download. That's why I have a pastoral care team, so that they don't download to me, they download to them. Setting it up that way. Yeah, there are some people, yeah, they need to download. But friend, what a great advice. Read the word, fast and pray, and see what God is saying for your situation. Because I can guarantee you, many ministers that have given advice, a lot of people haven't taken. Or if they take it and it goes wrong, who do they blame? Not God, they blame the man or the woman of God. But you told me. Well, why don't you seek him for yourself? And that's what Eli began to teach Samuel. Samuel, you go back, because I've recognized that God is speaking to you. It took him 3 goes. It took 3 goes before the man of God understood that God was speaking. What's God saying to you, friend? What's God going to challenge you with this in this new year? See, we're only at the beginning. You've got another 11 months to fulfill what God is saying to you this year. What about the lost? What about the harvesters? What about our nation? What are we promoting? What's beginning to happen? God called him. See, Samuel acted on what the Spirit of God was telling him to do. If you read further in that chapter, it says even the people began to recognize that Samuel was a prophet. That, in other words, he began to hear God for himself, and the people respected him for that. As he grew just in house mentality, and he grew in the new move of God, or he began to grow in hearing what God was saying, the Bible says the people began to respect that. And friend, I can guarantee you, when you hear what God is saying to you, when God puts a passion in your heart, and you see your man of God, your woman of God, sharing and preaching their hearts that God has burdened them with something, it will attract the people. Because it's a new mentality that God's giving us. This is a wonderful... I pinched this off somebody. You're allowed to do that when you're in ministry. You will never get validation from teachers of tradition what revelation has called you to do. Church, you will always get validation from God when you hear what God is saying. You know, I admire some of the presidents in America where a serious decision needed to be made. And who would they call? The men of God. It's not happening so much now. But in early days, you read those early presidents, what they stood for. Why? Because they would seek God to run a nation. We need to have a government, church. Friend, we need to have a government that will seek God for our nation. If we can have $1 billion in surplus, just think, if God got involved, how much more we could be in surplus. We are not too small for God to use us. See, when God speaks, here he spoke to Samuel 3 times. The first time God speaks to you is to get your attention. The second time God speaks is to prepare you. The third time God speaks to you is to make a covenant with you that God's getting involved in this as well. Church, it's time to move on from the first point of God getting our attention. This week, God's got our attention. This week, we have given you tools to prepare. Now, God needs to make a covenant with you to see what you're going to do about it. Has he got your attention? Are you prepared? Have you made the covenant with God? Because the third time Samuel responded to God, God revealed the covenant to him that he would be a man of God, that he would be a spokesman for God. What's God saying to you? What's he doing for you? Has he got your attention over these last few days through the Word? Has God got your attention? Has he done something? Is he stirring something in your life? Is he preparing you? Because we haven't just come just for our health, but we've come for the health of our nation, that we need to stand up and be accounted for. Friend, I want to leave you with this challenge. What method will you follow? What conviction in your heart will you follow from these few days? Because we have given you tools, we've done and said things, but now it's all up to you. We've done what God's required of us to do. We've done the passion that was on Pastor Trevor's heart to make you aware. The thing is, we can't make you do. That has to be between you and God. Father, I thank you for these awesome people this morning, Lord. That God, even as you would challenge our hearts, that God, we would be fervent for the things of God. That God, we would have reverence for you even in our nation. That God, Lord, even as a child, Lord, I remember Bible in school would come in. And Father, it was free to teach Bible in schools. But God, that you would even change, Lord, the Board of Trustees' hearts that would have nothing to do with this anymore, because, Lord, they go by the law that we are a free country, that any religion is promoted here. But, Lord, it's amazing we go to other countries and their religion stands as number one. Father, speak to us. Prepare our hearts that we would make a covenant with you. In Jesus' name. I just want our team just to sing the song again before we go to morning tea. Because of who you are. You know, it's because of who God is that you live. It's because of who God is that he wants to provide for you. He wants you to be the person he's called you to be. But I just want you to soak it in. And as we sing this, we'll do this item for you. I pray God will touch you.